Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey.
Hey folks, we're back. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're all doing okay. Enjoying the sunshine if you're in the UK.
I had to turn off the air conditioner in our office, which makes us sound like an articulated truck. So within about the next 10 minutes, we're going to start sweating profusely.
I know, and I'm already sweating because I literally got back from the gym about 15 minutes ago.
How was your gym session, Hannah Megs?
My God, it was so hard. Basically, I have not been back to the gym. Well, I've been back to the gym once since this third lockdown that we've had. So I've not really done any weight lifting, really, for the whole of this year. Mm. And God, it was hard. But the good thing about it is that the trainers at my gym are really good at kind of tailoring to everybody's specific needs. Or like, I think they kind of know that when you go back, you feel a little bit nervous or you kind of forgotten certain forms and things. So they're very good at kind of coming around and making it a bit more personal to you rather than you're just in a class and you're kind of trying to guess what you're doing, you know?
Yeah. I got a staph infection.
Ew, why do we have to talk about that? It's bad enough that I have to rub cream on it.
I can't reach it to rub cream on it. It's a it's basically kind of combat sport gyms. You get these things called staph infections, which are kind of, I've tried to Google it or YouTube it and watch videos about it, but it's so complicated. So there's all these names for these things. They make them so complicated. But it's like a kind of a skin infection on my back, and it's just, it looks like a cut that doesn't heal. So I put this cream on it twice a day. It's going now.
You mean I put the cream on it twice a day?
Yeah. I always hate asking you to do that, but
I've been very welcoming to putting the cream on
it. It's so funny because when I first had it, I was like, oh, what is this thing? And of course, like, you go to Google and everything just points to cancer. Yeah. I'm like, oh, for God's sake, not again. And then, you're just like, okay, well, that's it. I mean, the first staph infection I had was a couple of years ago. And I remember going to the doctor being like, I know what this is. It's this type of skin cancer. I just really need to know, like, how long I've got left.
Like, the internet is a beautiful thing. But when you start Googling health problems or symptoms, it can take you into a dark place. I learned that. I learned quite early on not to do that and to only ever look at NHS or speak to an actual doctor, because it's just not worth the worry.
Don't you think it's so funny how it's anything? You could be like, oh, I've got a slight eye twitch. I'm like, what's that eye twitch? Where's that from? I Google it. Cancer. Eye cancer. Eyelid cancer. You're like, what the hell? Why does everything point to that? Why? I think it's what it is. There's probably lots of different things, but you see that one C word and you're just drawn to it and you're like, oh no, that's definitely what it is.
Yeah,
I think
maybe.
That's it. Yeah. But I'm fine. I'm gonna get that Yeah, I'm all right. What else has been going down around the hood?
I have a good book recommendation. Well, actually, I'm hoping it's a good book recommendation because I'm only halfway through it, but it's quite a beast. It's quite a thick book. It's called City of Girls, and it's not something I would normally pick up just because I think I bought it because my friend said it was good without reading what it was actually about. And it's about a theatre company in 1940s America and like all the characters and all the people that live at the theatre. And it's such a good read and it's quite light, but there's like a teeny bit of history thrown in there. And it's there's a different kind of, there's like quite a nice selection of different sorts of characters and stories going on. So I'd definitely recommend it if you feel like you need something to kind of take you away from whatever it is you're doing. I find reading quite therapeutic when you kind of need a bit of escapism, so I'd recommend that one.
A good film recommendation we watched the other day, which I found, called The Florida Project with William Dafoe in it.
It was so good.
You know how much that film cost to make? $2 million. It made 11 million in the box office. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's very you can see why it wasn't that expensive to make. It's a very simple film. But
well, most of that was probably his salary.
Yeah. It's such an incredible film. Something I'd highly recommend you checking out. It's just such a playful film. And the mum, I can't remember what her name was, the actress, but she was cast, I think, so well. Mm. She wasn't made out to be this kind of like slightly troubled, like mum who obviously was some model in her free time. They made her quite accurate to a kind of a lost soul.
The film basically follows this little girl who, she must be about 7 or 8 or something, maybe a little bit older. And she lives in a motel with her mum. They're not really supposed to be living there. They're supposed to, they kind of have to check out and check back in. And she lives with her mum who isn't...
not the most wholesome
isn't the most
of mums, is she?
Fit of mums. But yeah, it basically follows the little girl through her days, and it's really charming and sweet, and like it's just really nice to see a film like that from a child's perspective.
Yeah.
William Dafoe?
Yeah.
He plays such a great role in that, particularly at the end. I thought we didn't discuss the end actually because it was past our bedtime, so I was like, quick, turn the lights out, go to sleep. But particularly at the end, I thought, I won't spoil the film in case some of you want to go and see it. But there's one scene at the end where I just thought that was done so well on his part.
Mm. You can get that on Channel 4, I think, at the moment. We have to endure the adverts, which is a pain in the ass if you're watching it on Channel 4. So I try and get it somewhere else if you can.
Mate, your whole life is an advert. Stop telling people to skip the adverts.
No, it's not.
Love the adverts, people.
No, no.
Adverts are great.
What we do is we humanise adverts. We don't make them awful. This is the thing, you know. This is why I think it's so effective. It used to be effective for brands to work with us because you add, like, I don't know, personality to that message rather than just making an obnoxious advert. But no, it's... I actually hated adverts so much when I was younger that I even investigated creating a device that attaches to the back of a television that knows when the adverts are on and cuts to like either music or kind of just like, you know, like a changing imagery. It's like a kind of a screensaver kind of look. I was looking into that, but then once you start looking into these things and you realize how much work it is, you soon give up.
You've given up on your cold water swims, haven't you?
No, I've given up. It's just got very warm out there now. So they've kind of lost the appeal, you know, getting up when it was cold and raining outside and there was ice on the windows. That was when I loved doing it. And now it's so lovely and warm down there. It's like getting in a warm bath, you know? It's almost pointless. It doesn't really get the benefits of the cold water immersion that you want. Over 14 degrees is not really much point. The only thing I miss about it is just being with the boys and chatting to the guys. All of us just standing there in a river, just having a chat about boy stuff. I miss that.
Just to change the subject.
Yeah.
Are you aware of any updates for the 21st yet?
What do you mean? A Freedom Day, whatever.
Freedom Day.
Yeah, they've 4 weeks.
Oh, have they?
Delayed it now by 4 weeks. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, delayed it by 4 weeks. I think it's mainly just nightclubs that suffer. I think.
I've been avoiding the news. Still, I'm on a news strike.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'd rather be ignorant.
And then what they'll do after this 4 weeks is probably try and delay it again and again and again. And yeah, I'm so surprised that people are, you know, people have managed to survive this long with these lockdowns like this. You know, I the one thing I'm really happy about though over the whole thing, or one thing I'm not happy about, but one thing I'm really glad that I did, because you look at all this stuff and think, well, what's the impact of it? What's happened, and how can I help? And it's like, well, the mental health impact is, God, it must be unprecedented. So the new platform I'm launching it weighs heavily into mental health and connects people with therapists. So you can book like an hour with a therapist just for a chat. I want to destigmatize talking to a therapist, because if you want to talk to a therapist now, you have to go to these therapy websites and they're quite overwhelming, all these different options and different things. You've got to say, oh, tick this box for if you're anxious, tick it if you're depressed. I just want to connect somebody simply to a therapist. I think it would be, you know, just to kind of, most people don't do it. The only reason why a lot of people would see a therapist is if they get to right to the end of their tether.
I would really like to see a therapist at the moment, but not particularly for any one thing. Just because I think it's a really great thing to do to kind of delve into yourself when you don't feel like at rock bottom, when you don't feel like you're drowning, to just talk to someone who's completely impartial, doesn't know your family or your friends, or like can't really I don't know, to speak to someone who's impartial and it's their job to kind of unpick and offer you methods of like coping with certain situations or kind of coaxing things out of you that you didn't realize need to be coaxed out. I just think it's something that everybody should do.
It's much more of an American thing, isn't it, really? That in terms of the industry is far more is far bigger in America than it is in the UK. I think sadly there still is a slight stigma to it out here, which I really want to help get rid of, because every time I've spoken to one, they've always given me something that I've taken away and used going forward. For the CBT therapist I saw a couple of years ago, he said, you know, when you have these crashes, when you hit these ebbs, then don't stop doing the things that you normally do. It tells you to do things that, you know, when you're in a depressive bout, it says don't go out, don't do anything, stay at home, hibernate, don't go to the gym, don't see your friends, cancel arrangements, just isolate. But that's the worst thing you can do. You need to keep going out there and living your life, and then you soon turn a corner. And I found that really helped going forward in my life, just in general, whenever I hit a low point.
I like that advice, but I also think that there are ways that you can do that, but also be softer with yourself when you do feel like you're going through down periods. I'm going for a bit of a down period right now.
Well, the gym seems to have perked you up a little bit.
Yeah, and the two coffees I had. But yeah, I mean, the only reason I actually went to the gym is just because I've been feeling a bit shit. Not for any reason. I think it just happens sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
you
does.
Just feel. But then it's one of those things where you quite often don't realise how good you feel until you don't feel that good anymore, which is the annoying thing about it, and which is it's kind of an annoying trait of being a human, is that you often won't have any gratitude or appreciate where you are unless you've got something to compare it to.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Great. This is why I need a therapist. It's so good to talk to.
No, one thing I don't like about when you have these depressive bouts is that they try and convince you that this is how you always feel. That's what they do to me. They're like, oh, this is how you always feel. And I'm like, no, I don't. And it's like, yeah, you do. This is how you always feel low key. It's just coming out now. Yeah. And I'm like, stop telling me that. It's weird how we torture ourselves, isn't
my
it?
My worst thing about these kind of periods of time where I don't feel great are trying to break that little voice inside me that's just really mean to me.
Yeah.
The one that's like, you're a shit parent, you're shit at your job, you can't even do this. Like, and even silly, really silly things like put a packet of cereal away in a really strange way. And then I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you're a fucking weirdo. Why did you do it like that? Like, I'm just really mean to myself, like really mean to myself. And it's really difficult to go back into your brain and rewire that. You have to work really hard to, and I don't really know necessarily even where that stems from. I'm guessing lots of people have that either low-key or like quite badly, and I do think it's related to confidence as well, but I would like to know where that comes from in order to be able to rewire properly, because I feel like I try to, but I don't really know what I'm doing, you know.
I wonder if it does come from any particular thing. I wonder if that does derive from something. It'd be interesting to know, like, would that be an event?
I bet if I went to a psychologist, they'd be like, well, it's daddy issues.
I've probably got mum issues, because every time I put the cereal back, I just think, God, I did that so perfectly. I slotted in so perfectly.
Yeah, you're like the opposite.
I'm so talented. It's got from an Irish mum who I grew up with telling me that I was incredible at everything I did, no matter what. I can't believe you only got 13% on that. Amazing that you got such a low score. You must have tried really hard to not do very
well.
It's
funny though, because it's not like I don't feel like I need somebody else to praise me or tell me that I'm doing well. I don't feel like I need that at all. I feel like I need me to do that to myself. Like, I want to feel like I've done something to the best of my ability, or that that if I do something weird, then it's fine to do things a bit weird. Like, it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always so harsh on myself. And I've had people say that to me recently, like in meetings and stuff, people would be like, why are you being so harsh to yourself? And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I did it so overtly. I thought it was just all in my head.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a controversial thing to say, but I think some people could do with being a little bit more harsh with themselves. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, maybe.
Sometimes you look at stuff and you're thinking, God, no, no. Like, I suppose I do it with myself every time I watch back a video. I'm like, no, what was
yeah, but
I
everybody
doing?
Does that. If anyone ever like sees themselves in a photograph or records themselves in a video or listens back to their own voice, it's always like, oh.
So
no.
we should probably talk about that actually. Our new plan for the channel. We have this amazing person who we're speaking to at the moment called Laura, and she I worked with her actually when she used to work for Canon, and she is super talented. I always kept in contact with her, and then she started to do social, what's it called, social strategist.
She's a strategist.
So you sit with her and you talk about what you're doing, what you want to do, what you aren't doing, what you should be doing. You talk about everything. She just looks at you from an outsider looking in and tells you, looks at your stats, looks at your numbers, looks at everything, says this is working, this isn't, this is who's watching, this is who, when they're dropping off. She does all the stuff that we as creators don't really want to do or like doing.
Or all the stuff that I don't even know how to do. Like, yes, I actually had a meeting with her yesterday. It was like 3 hours long and we'd like scratched the surface. Yeah. So interesting though for me, because I'm like, I have always kind of just put things up because I liked them, or like I'm quite sporadic and don't really have any kind of routine or anything. And I think that doesn't help with like just feeling like cluttered and unorganized. So to have somebody come along who's like, what you're doing is great, but you could do this, 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 and this, and you can do that right now, it's amazing for someone who doesn't have the mentality to do that for themselves.
Yeah, you're right. And so she's looked at three different things for us. She's looking across the board, all the different things. She might even look at this podcast, who knows. But WantFeed, your yoga, and the Mitch Axe channel are the three things that we've chatted to her about at the moment. I'm also, because she's so good, I'm putting her onto the new WantFeed as a verified store, so she can offer anyone else who has a company or a business or who just needs some strategists to come along and help them out. She's so good. So anyway, so she's looked into all of our YouTube stuff, and I've sort of explained to her how it's becoming too difficult for us financially to keep making the videos week after week. So we have to stop, but we still want to make the videos, but we have to kind of focus on where we can, with other platforms that can make us enough money to pay our bills. So she was looking at what we were doing, what works, what doesn't, and we've come up with an idea between us of breaking them down into three things. So doing three uploads a month. Right now it's about one a month, doing three a month. One is like a sit down talking video about something like how having a kid changes your relationship. So it's like more of a kind of conversational piece of video. So one of them, it could be like what I'm writing at the moment, it's like what it's like moving from a city like London out to the country. So what you expect, what you don't expect, those big kind of life changing things, and how you're kind of going into those and deep diving into those. So that's one type of video. The other one is going to be like guides video. So like a guide to Bath, a guide to London, a guide to Greece, a guide to whatever it is, just a guide to particular places. And the third type is the more creatively led ones, which are just kind of the storytelling and the sort of travel videos, storytelling, that kind of stuff, you know, the ones that are just kind of current on the site, the existing ones that we get to do every now and again. So I think that's going to really help us out.
I think sometimes it just takes an outsider to kind of look at what you're doing with a fresh perspective and just be able to pull out certain things that you're already doing, but you're kind of doing within something else. So to pull that out and make it a video of its own rather than have it embedded in a vlog.
Yeah.
It's just so much easier to produce. It's actually, for an audience, it's more palatable to click on a video that's maybe like 10 minutes long, where you're talking about a specific subject that they might be interested in.
They're more evergreen, as they say, so they last a lot longer. Yeah. So they're not just something people watch over a month or two.
Your plant is not like in this room right now.
Oh no, it's not. I bought a new plant. It's wilting and dying. You might have to take it down and rescue it. But no keeping it if you take it down.
I'm like, yes, I'll take it down to my office. Yeah. My office is really good because it's like shaded, and I have a watering can in there. So every time I go in there, I water my plants.
Yeah, you can have it back for temporarily. Okay. Okay, that's fine.
I don't have room to keep it. I just don't want it to die because it's a nice plant.
So anyway, just a bit more bore you to death with a bit more WantFeed stuff, because I'm very excited about this and it's all I'm thinking about. I go to bed thinking about it, I wake up thinking about it, but I have had, do you sigh as if like, oh God.
Oh, was just breathing.
Okay. I thought it was a big...
Not allowed to breathe anymore.
We had 180...
Not allowed to breathe in my own house.
182 applications. I got those down. We can't... obviously, I have to look at each individual one and assess them and see how much work it's going to be to onboard them. And then I've got that down to about 99. So we're going to launch with 99 partners. We're going to email them all in the next day or two, let them know how to set themselves up. Once they're all on board and then a few more tweaks are done on the site, we're going to go live. And I've got to do a big PR campaign, a big promotional push. I've got to do loads of stuff to get this thing out there. I really believe in this. It's so exciting to have something that everyone or like our whole community is benefiting from. Mm. We've got some great therapists on there too.
I think that's what I like about it is that compared to what it was before where it was just sort of selling products, now you're kind of championing, I can't say that word. You're helping out individual like people and independent businesses and it's more of a like a community thing rather than just like peddling out, oh, she's wearing this dress, I'm gonna go buy that dress, you know, like it's actually helping and providing services that people want to learn things or to be able to have a therapist or to help them with their work, and like it's actually beneficial for everybody involved. It's like you're helping somebody get more customers for their business, the customers are finding better services through you. And
getting more traction because we're doing a lot of the marketing.
Yeah.
So like, So we've got it's so broad. We've got onboarding a pick and mix company who do like pick and mix right across to, you know, people who do maths tutoring for GCSE students. It's like, it really is a collection, a broad spectrum of just people who I think can offer the community something. And what I think, well, this was Laura's idea, which I loved. She was like, it has to be quarterly onboarding, so you don't just be like anyone can join and turn into like an Etsy or not on the high street. It has to be like very selective. Can we help this company? What can we do for them? How can we develop them? How can we build them? And work with everyone on a granular level. And I think by doing that, people really appreciate it. I think a lot of the feedback I've got is like, oh, I used to be here, but I was lost on their marketplace. And I'm like,
yeah. And I think with a lot of places that are similar, you don't get that. You pay to be on the platform, but you don't get that level of attention. And also it isn't selective, so anybody can go on there and like you're saying, you just get lost. So how are you supposed to kind of grow?
Yeah, exactly that. That's the thing, I don't want to saturate the site with like tons of different people. I just want to make it very, very small, do you know, seasonal onboarding and make it kind of more niche and boutique. So that's kind of my main, that's what's been going on in my mind right now. Just 24/7 thinking about that all the time. I'm just so desperate for that to take off. Because it's been, you know, it's been a tough few months for us, hasn't it? Like in terms of everything with work slowing down and feeling the impact
really
of COVID.
Tough for everybody, though. Like, I don't think there's really been that many people that have...
I mean, I know a lot of people who are doing fine. A lot of people are like, oh, it hasn't really affected me. And some people, it's only, you know, a few people have been like, oh, it's picking up now. I'm like, it's starting to pick up for us, which is good. But I've never been this scared before about, you know, everything in terms of like, you know, where we're at and our future and stuff like that. One thing that really kind of perplexes me is that like I work for magazine companies, and a magazine might get, you know, say like Heat, when I worked there, they had about 100,000 say people would read that magazine a week. So if we get a video with like 70,000, it's bizarre that like that video, like even though you're getting the same amount of people watching it, you can't monetize. Like you can't make money from it. It's such a weird place to be. It's like, how does that make sense? How can all these people want to advertise in a magazine and let the magazine make all this money, yet you can get as many eyeballs, but you make nothing? It doesn't seem to make sense to me.
I don't really know where you're going with that. So I'm just letting you go into a little hole.
This is a frustrating thing. It's like, well, we can make videos and they get okay views. And it's like, why? I wish they could just be profitable so we could keep doing it. You know, I really miss making them and I love making them. And it's just, I feel like financially, I just can't do it anymore. And it's just frustrating that it's the way it is.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Yeah, because that's where my heart is at. Like, and all of this want feed stuff, I just want to get it to the point where we can support making videos and films, you know, in the future. That's where I want to get to. Yeah. Anyway,
how's your I don't know how to change the subject from that. Like all the doom and gloom of Steph Mitchell X.
I am quite doom and gloomy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
I am doom and gloomy right now. I'm equally like you. I'm not in a good place.
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a little bit of a flat place because I almost just feel overwhelmed by everything opening up again. And it's almost had the opposite effect on me where I don't really want to go out and I don't really want to like go to gym classes. And I forced myself to go to one today and it was great. But now I'm home again. I'm like, oh, I just really, really love being at home, you know?
You've got that, was it agoraphobia?
No, I feel a little bit like, you know, what's that syndrome? Is it called Stockholm syndrome when there's like a kidnapper and the person ends up falling in love with the kidnapper? I feel like I was forced to spend time in my house and I was like, oh no. And now I'm like, but I like being in my house. It's like a little cocoon. Mm. Everything's safe in here. And like, yeah. I don't know, like socially, I just feel a bit like I've forgotten how to hold a conversation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not forgotten how to hold a conversation. It's just that I don't know how to explain it. Like, I really like being by myself.
Mm.
I really like it. And I feel like that's not very socially accepted to really enjoy your own company.
No, I think it is. I think, but yeah, I was thinking, maybe we are. We're quite social creatures, aren't we?
Mm.
Human beings. So to isolate yourself is a little bit weird.
Thanks.
No, considered to be weird in the wider, you know, wider, yeah, broader, yeah, thing. But I think the problem is I made a scene in a video a while ago about this, talking about how it's almost the price you have to pay for seeing all the beauty in the world and seeing how and appreciating it all is these down points. Yeah, you have to go, like, there almost comes at a cost, like you have to pay for that, and the payment is this, like going through the times which are hard and like I'm waking up with crazy anxiety again, and not able to sleep, like really worried about everything, and then it's such a weird thing, but I know that it's part of the process. I have to go through that, and it's like, I don't really want to find a cure for it. Or I don't really want to find like, oh, I should do this, or I should get in cold showers more, or I should go do this more. It's like, no, I just need to live in this and experience it.
And actually, we give such negativity to those type of emotions because they are hard to go through. Mm. When actually, there's a reason why we as humans have a broad spectrum of emotions. It's because we're supposed to feel all of them. But we just have these attachments to them where we're like, oh, that's a bad emotion. When I'm angry, that's a bad emotion. When I'm grieving or I'm sad, that's a bad emotion. And actually, none of them are bad. They are just very different and some of them are harder than others. Mm. But we're supposed to feel them all.
Mm.
We just are. And yeah. And we wouldn't know, like I was saying earlier, sometimes I don't realize how happy I am until I go through these periods where I feel down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh shit, I was actually really content, really happy. Like, and then when you're not, you're like, oh, get me back to that place. But it's about like kind of appreciating when you are.
Do you think we're synced?
No.
Emotionally synced?
You and I?
Yeah.
No.
No. So you don't think when you're going through a down period, I go through one, or when I'm going through one, you go through one? You don't think?
No, I find normally with you and I, it tends to be like one of us uplifts the other one, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
It's quite rare for us to both have it at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's more like one of us is always like a little bit less.
Yeah.
So, like kind of in a dark place in the other person. So the other person can help the other person out. But I think we're quite synced. I think we are. I think there's so much unsaid between us all of the time. So much that isn't just verbally communicated. So much through physical, what's happening and what isn't happening between us. That means that we pick up on each other's nuances. Mm. That means that we do sync without even almost realizing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess when we've been together for nearly 10 years now. So you just, when you live with someone for that amount of time, you just know each other. Mm. Like you just fall into this like comfortable place where you don't need to say to the other person, oh, I feel really shit this week.
Yeah, you can just
like
tell.
The other person just knows. Mm. And then the other person just automatically kind of takes that role of, okay, well, it's on me this week. Mm. I'm going to do these couple of extra things, or I'm going to uplift this person by doing this. And it doesn't need to be said because you just know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although sometimes you don't know and I'm like, I'm so fucking sad.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? But the good thing about acknowledging it when it's happening is that you do acknowledge it when it's not. Mm. So we are very aware when we're happy. Shit, yeah. This is a great day, or everyone says this has been the most amazing day ever, or
I do find that you get these as well, don't you? Where sometimes there'll be certain like little tiny pockets where it could be like 30 seconds or a minute or something where I will feel so overwhelmed by happiness that I'm literally like tearing up. I'm like, it could be the smallest thing. Like it could be like me driving along with the kids in the back and I'm just like, oh my God, I've got a family. And like, I'm lucky enough that I'm driving a car to our house. And just something really small like that, where you're like, fuck, actually, when you zoom out, that's like, what am I complaining about? I have everything I need and I have a healthy family. And then I don't know, you just kind of, I kind of get really emotional. I'm like, oh yeah, like, why am I being like a wanky little bitch talking
like, you have these little voices in your head which can get so loud sometimes, and they'll ignore all of the beauty and the amazing, you know, just the things that you should be really appreciating. Shit, man, like we're living in our, you know, house that we got bought together and with our kids, and everyone's healthy and good and everyone's, you know, enjoying
it's
life.
So
and,
easy to and, slip into that.
But then you have this little voice being like, well, you know, work's quiet right now. You've not got what much work. And I think I was talking to Jason about this. It's everything can be looked at from a completely different angle, can't it?
So, and it's about flipping it on its head and being like, how can I make that?
Well, yeah. And it's like when somebody could come sit there and just dismantle me for 10 minutes and tell me why I'm such a prick. And it doesn't mean they're wrong. Be like, well, you probably have a point. If you look at me from that angle, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You got a point. Everything could be looked at from that angle. Mm-hmm. Every design, every person, everything could be condemned, and you could pour scorn. And that's why a lot of these kind of forums where people just go on and just, you know, are just mean about creators. I think, what was the old one called? What's that one that used to have the
Gossip Guru?
But they're just, people go there and be so mean about everyone, really mean, and you'd be like, you're probably right about all these things if you're looking at it from that angle. And you could go through your whole life looking at everything from that angle and you'd be completely right. There's nothing to say you're wrong. But why would you want to see it from that angle?
Yeah,
why
and
would
you're
you want
seeing
to
everything
that?
Through your particular lens.
Exactly.
So and to you, that is true.
Yeah, and it's like you're choosing to look at it from that angle. Yeah. And I get it. Like sometimes, like when I don't want to go on about reels again because we always seem to get really angry about reels. But when I look at reels and I see these...
I'm coming around.
No, I'm you haven't heard around. That song. That
oh, no,
song.
No, don't ruin it for me. Anyway, what I was about to say before we started the Reels chat was that I find something that helps me when I'm feeling like cloudy and cluttered and just a bit negative. And I don't want to sound like a preachy dickhead here, but it genuinely really does help me, is that I started doing a daily journal. So it was 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening. And I've actually fallen off the wagon a little bit in terms of like keeping up with it, even though it's literally, you can get it done in less than 5 minutes. So in the morning, you kind of say what you're grateful for. In the evening, you say three good things that happened that day. And I've fallen off the wagon a little bit. And I do think sometimes that doesn't help because, I don't know, I was in the shower last night washing my hair and I could see out the window that the sun was setting and I was like, fuck, that's a really nice part of the day. I'm just washing my hair and I get to watch the sunset. Like, that's really cool. And then, I don't know, something else happened in the evening. I think it was our son, Grayson, finally discovered a book that he loved and spent all evening reading, which never happens. And I felt really happy because I love reading. And so I was like, oh, great. He's kind of finally realized why it's so magical. And so that was another good point that happened. And it kind of, I had to kind of count up these things that had just happened in the evening. And I was like, actually, even though I found today hard and stressful, these three things lifted the whole day. And then you can kind of turn it around to be like, it wasn't a bad day. Like, it was a difficult day, but great things happened. And I think unless you're seeking out the good things and actually taking a moment to acknowledge that something good has happened rather than just like, oh, what's next or what do I need to do next,
yeah,
it doesn't really sink in. And then you end up thinking that you've had a bad day when you actually haven't.
I think that's great advice. You're basically saying live within whatever you're going through, live within the ebbs and exist with them, and if the voices are there, just acknowledge them, but also make sure that whenever something wonderful happens or incredible happens, you hold on to that and you don't let that go. So the voices, as loud as they are, they shouldn't steal those moments. They shouldn't be able to kind of shout over those moments that are there that you can acknowledge and be like, okay, well, F you little voices, I got that moment, I got that beautiful sunset I just saw while I was washing my hair. And that's an antidote to those kind of annoying little kind of tedious voices that are constantly berating
you. It's funny though, because I find the more you acknowledge that type of tiny little moment, and it's always things that don't cost anything, you know, like just things that you notice that are just beautiful, or something that you might feel in a certain situation or whatever. If you really kind of acknowledge them, then that's what you remember about the day. You don't remember, like, I mean, well, actually, I do remember, but I'm trying not to remember the tantrum that my 3-year-old had about which direction we needed to walk around the park, and it was really stressful. But I kind of trying to kind of remember that day as the sunset and the book situation, rather than like, oh god, that morning I got whinged out all morning by a grumpy 3-year-old. You know?
Yeah. It's. I think we're just a byproduct of how we've been, you know, brought up in society, and the way we're taught, you know, what we place value on, and what we're taught that brings us value and brings us happiness. And we just, and I think that's why people struggle so much, is because we're conditioned and we're basically made to be little consumers.
Yeah.
Like consume, consume, consume. And I think that there's a problem with that because we just grow up feeling so unsatisfied.
And also, like, we're told from the minute we're young children, oh, what do you want to be? What are you going to be when you're older? And it's like, why do you have to be one specific thing? Why do you have to define yourself? Why do you have to attach that label to yourself and be one thing? And there's so much pressure on it as a young child, as an 18, 19-year-old, there's a lot of pressure around that. In your early 20s, there's so much pressure to decide what you're going to be and what you're going to do with your life. And it's like,
but I find that when you say, oh, I met somebody or this girl, I'm like, what does she do? I always want to know that straight away. And I think that's just a human being's way to, we like to
try and understand the person,
understand who they are, or kind of mentally kind of make a picture of that person and understand what they are and who they are. Whereas, you know, it seems like such a ridiculous question to ask. You know, what do they do? Who are they? Oh, they're a lawyer. Straight away, bang, I know exactly kind of where they are in my head, what they're going to be like, what they're kind of,
you make assumptions based on the label. Yeah,
exactly. Completely just going to, and I can't help that. It's just an inherent thing that you do. Like, if a girl says, oh, I met a guy, what does he do? You know, straight away, you know. And it's just so people can really kind of make those assumptions and understand a bit more and paint that visual picture. Like,
I just find it frustrating, though. I think being a parent, And almost sometimes you catch yourself before you do it, where you're like, no, don't put that pressure on a 7-year-old child. Like, just because you like drawing doesn't mean you have to be an artist, you don't have to do something productive with it. You enjoy it. You're good at it. You enjoy it. You don't have to turn it into something, you know? Like, just be a human. Just be.
Although, I do always think in that, just to change the subject a bit today, but Grayson loves drawing, and he's drawing these little bookmarks. He drew this little bookmark. And
turn I was him like, into a consumerist.
But the thing is, yeah, I was like, well, you've done these little... I couldn't figure out why this would... Again, it's one of these things where you could look at it from a different angle, and I'm like, well, I'm trying to look at these things from different angles and see what angle could be like, that's the... I should dignify that angle. But anyway, no, he's drawing these bookmarks, and he does these little kind of drawings, and they're really cool. And I was like, you should sell them. I got an art website. I could do a little Grayson bookmark section, and then you could earn some like pocket money, or you know, put it in the bank or whatever, and you could buy some stuff with it. He was like, yeah. But then I was like, is that okay for me to do that? Is there any angle that you could on some little shitty website where you're like, want to hate everyone, look at it from an angle and be like, look what he's doing? Yeah. I mean, I'll obviously take a commission.
I mean, it's shut up, you're such a dick. I let him set up a little shop outside the house once before COVID.
Yeah, it's a bit like
that.
And
he made those little, he drew a load of pictures, and he sat out there with a little table and chairs, and people paid him.
But I reckon he'd get he set a bookmark for like, you know, a couple of quid each. Then he might be like, oh,
I paid for my toy or whatever. Yeah. I think it's fine as long as it's innocent and it's genuinely going to him. I don't think he'll sell many though, because I think we think they're good because we're his parents, honey.
I think people have watched him since he was a little baby. He'd have a little one of his hand-drawn bookmarks. Also, I'd like, love that. What a cute little thing to have, like a little kid's bookmark in a book.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a great thing to do. I think I'm gonna
do it then.
I might do it with him. I might do it do it with him and see. Yeah, and hope that somebody can't look at it from a particular angle and think that I'm being mean.
Oh, fuck them.
That's my mum's. That's what I say to mum. You know what the weird thing about a job is? I can't do it. We've done this for so many years. How many years? Eight or nine years. I still cannot deal with people being mean to me. I cannot deal with it. And I've not got a thick, I can't rise above it. I can't got a thick skin.
I feel like I've got thick skin.
Yeah, you have. I don't. I get really upset still. I'm like, why are you being mean? Like when people are mean, I'm like, it's just really upsets me.
It's weird though, because I would say you're really confident, generally speaking, and I'm not a confident person. Like, I feel like I'm confident with who I am, but I'm not a confident person, if that makes sense. So it's weird that, like, for me, I'm like, no, that doesn't affect me. Whereas with you, it affects you, and I expect it to be the other way around. Do you know what I mean?
I was reading something the other day, actually, which is very true. It's like, I highlighted it in my Kindle because I thought that's a nice statement. But it said basically, I'm going to bastardize it here because I can't remember how it was worded. But it said, you project so much of who you are in your life to people that eventually you start believing that projection.
Mm.
So I think that's what confidence is. I think confidence is a projection. It's like being like, I'm really confident. Then people think, oh, well, that person probably has a reason to be confident if they're really confident. You're not, but you project it so much that you start to think that yourself, like, well, maybe I am this confident, or maybe I am like, okay. But I don't think inherently you believe it. You just think I'm the same idiot as everybody else out there. Mm. But you're just presenting something that eventually after a longer enough period of time, you start to believe yourself. Maybe that's what it is. Because I don't inherently think, you know, I'm not confident, you know, academically, I'm extremely unconfident because I had so many years of being, you know, of school proving that I was an idiot, being like, look how badly you're doing. That's one thing that frustrated me so much about academia was just a constant reminder that you're thick. It's like, look how thick you are. You go in the next day, oh, I can't wait for school. Look, here's another test to prove you're thick. Here's another test. I'm like, I can't deal with this anymore. Every day, like being, you know, struggling. So academically, I'm extremely unconfident. I don't think I'm very clever at all. But there's certain things that I can do, like, I suppose, making videos and understanding frequency-based production, where people how people connect to something on an emotional level, and how you can I suppose it's a bit like songwriting or something like that. It's just a way of seeing the world through.
I think you just don't have that, not like your brain just works differently to someone who is more academic, you know, like you're just wired differently.
Wired
in a more like creative way.
Yeah, which,
like a more artistic way.
Yeah.
And which isn't really championed in terms of like schooling. In lots of schools it is, but generally speaking in like primary, which is I'm guessing like generally what you're talking about, when you go into primary and they're teaching you the basics, they're not teaching you art, really. Like, art's for fun, you know? Mm. They're teaching you maths and science and all this stuff. And that's all the stuff that I think as a creative person, you might not really retain.
Yeah, but...
because you're not interested in it.
The problem is maths, if you know how to do maths, and you can create some incredible stuff. Like, so if you're a good mathematician and you turn your hand to art, you can use that
to
write scripts to make some amazing stuff.
Teenage boys eventually who are learning maths. So, I mean, you can always do it alongside them. Yeah. It's never too late.
It is too late. Honestly, it won't sink in. It won't sink into my brain. Like, it just won't. I think that's could be a lot of what it's to do with just the case of presenting something and then believing that presentation. And that's when, you know, when I was younger and sometimes, yeah, every now and again, a guy might say, look, Steph, how do you manage to have a girlfriend all the time? Be careful how I say this. And how do you have that confidence to go just to talk to girls? And I was like, you've got to basically do it. How do I say this? But I'm without getting in trouble. You've got to basically go up and talk to somebody and understand that if that person doesn't like you, then that's okay because not everyone likes, you know, broccoli. But it doesn't mean it's not nice. Oh, that was a terrible way of describing. I'm just trying to worm myself, dig myself out of this hole.
I did say something similar to Grayson the other day. I can't remember what we were talking about. Just friendship groups at school, I think. He's 7.5, by the way, for anyone new listening, our son. And we were just talking about it. And I remember saying, like, I think at school you have this, because it's such a small, well, it's not small, it's like 30 people in a class. But that's your world when you're that age and everything matters to you. And I just remember trying to explain to Grayson that, like, not everybody is going to get along and gel with each other and mesh well together. People are gonna have different ideas and opinions and not want to play the same games and things like that, but that's fine. You just gotta go with it. You can't force people to like you or to think like you you can't change another person to be who you want them to be more like you so that you like them more, you know?
Yeah. Which a lot of people.
That was really
do.
Badly explained.
No, but I think a lot of people do that when they go into a relationship. They're like,
I can work on this person. Yeah. And it's like, no, you can't, mate.
Some people want that challenge, though, don't they? Some people love that challenge.
Nah.
They want to.
Not for me.
Yeah, not for me either. No.
Right, anyway, honey, let's round this up.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for getting to. We were only going to do 20 minutes. We ended up doing 45 roughly.
Now I've got to go do some work.
Okay, right. Thank you very much
for listening.
For listening, guys. Go and check out The Florida Project and Hannah's book. What's it called again?
City of Girls.
City of Girls. Let us know what you think on our social media. And yeah, thanks. Bye,
everyone.
Have
a great week, everyone. See ya.